It almost feels it almost seems appropriate after that. Speaking to Brad Fittler. Anyway.
We'll be speaking with management on Monday also.
To appeal for information after a Polish au pair was reportedly attacked while out walking near her Brisbane home. The 24-year-old, who lives with a family in Petrie, went out for her daily stroll about 8:30 on Friday night. She knocked on the door of a house in Boona Street with serious facial injuries after the alleged assault. The man who answered, Ken, told Channel 10 she was in a bad way.
Brought her in, sat her down, got a cold washer, a towel, tried to clean some of the blood off her face, her forehead.
Police are arranging for an interpreter and are appealing for anyone in Daybra Road, Boona Street or Beeville Road at the time to come forward. The woman was taken to Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital with severe injuries to her face. Australia's most wanted terrorist, Neil Prakash, could face justice on home soil after being arrested in Turkey. The former Melbourne man is reportedly alive and under arrest by Turkish authorities, despite reports he was killed 6 months ago in northern Iraq. A spokesperson for Justice Minister Michael Keenan says the man, believed to be Prakash, is now subject to a formal extradition request from Australia. A man has been stabbed and another has been arrested at a fast food restaurant in Sydney CBD. Emergency services were called to the restaurant on George Street around 12:20 this morning following reports of a fight between two groups. A man aged in his 20s was treated at the scene for stab injuries and taken to hospital in a stable condition, while an 18-year-old was arrested at the scene and is assisting police with their inquiries. Five people have died and six others are in intensive care after Melbourne's thunderstorm asthma event on Monday. The latest victim, believed to be a woman, died at the Northern Hospital in Epping on Friday night. A hospital spokesman said the asthma thunderstorm led to other medical complications for that patient. Moscow expressed condolences to the people of Cuba over the death of Fidel Castro. The Russian president described the late Cuban leader as a symbol of an era, a distinguished statesman, and a sincere and reliable friend of Russia. Daria Bondarchuk reports from the Russian capital.
In a telegram sent to Raul Castro, President Putin said that under Fidel's rule, Cuba was free and independent and became an influential member of the international community. It also became an inspiring example for many nations, Putin added. Relations between Moscow and Havana have gone through a stress test in the 1990s following the collapse of the Soviet Union that Cuba was heavily dependent on economically. But now, more than a decade after Russia had shut down its military base on Cuba, the issue of Lourdes base is again under discussion. Early in October, one of Russia's defense ministry officials said Moscow may revisit that decision, with the Kremlin confirming later it may reassess the idea in accordance with Russia's national interests. Daria Bondarchuk, Air News, Moscow.
Also in news, firefighters will swarm into Melbourne's underground rail loop today to take part in a two-hour training exercise supported by up to eight fire trucks parked outside Parliament Station and along Collins Street. The drill will have no impact on train services through the loop. And four teenagers have been arrested following a high-speed car chase in country Victoria, but police say they're still looking for a fifth after Friday's chase in a stolen BMW. This is Air News. Nathan Lyon returned to form with three wickets in the night session of the cricket test against South Africa, including the dismissals of Bavuma, 21, and night watchman Kyle Abbott, 0, in his final two overs of the day. The late wickets left Australia, who can access their second new ball in 11 overs, well-placed to snap a five-test losing streak and avoid their first whitewash in a home test series since Federation. Lyon says he's enjoying being one of the senior players in the new-look Australian side.
Just being there in a supporting role and taking a couple of the younger guys under your wing and supporting them. I know how hard it is to play test match cricket, and if someone in the team can lend that support on and off the field, it's pretty crucial. I know Mike Hussey was my mentor in the Australian cricket team when I first came in, so if I can play a role with the younger guys coming in, then I'm more than happy to do that.
The Proteas resumed today, 70 runs ahead of Australia with just four wickets remaining. The Socceroos will face a tough test at the FIFA Confederations Cup in Russia in 2017, having been drawn against World Cup winners Germany to open their campaign. Ange Postecoglou's side landed in Group B alongside the world champions, South American champions Chile, and whoever wins the 2017 African Cup of Nations, which kicks off in January. Also in sport, Lewis Hamilton has taken pole at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Australian Independent Radio News.
This sports update is for Builder Steel Direct. Now teamed with local lintel manufacturer Galintel to supply Aussie-made galintels, T-bars, render bars, structural steel beams and more.
When the traffic's going nowhere and you're stuck, then get carried away. Imagine you're relaxing with a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Shiraz Cabernet by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Peugeot is offering 8-year unlimited kilometre warranty plus 8 years roadside assistance on MY15 models purchased before December 31. Conditions at peugeot.com.au. In Bilpin, the traffic flow is in place on Bell's line of road at Bilpin Springs Road after an accident earlier this morning. In Kellyville, there are traffic lights flashing yellow on Green Road at Wrights Road. Crews have cleared an accident in Maroubra from Anzac Parade and Maroubra Road. Traffic is moving smoothly again and a breakdown's been cleared from the Anzac Bridge in Rozelle. All lanes are back open. A little bit of traffic leaving Sydney Airport at the moment on O'Riordan Street and General Holmes Drive. Amber's 20% off everything sale ends today. That's a massive 20% off all your indoor and outdoor tiles, pavers and stone. Hurry into your local Amber store. Amber has the answer. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy with a 20% chance of a shower today in Sydney Town. Light winds becoming southeasterly, 15 to 25 kilometres in the middle of the day, then tending easterly in the early afternoon. Powerful surf conditions, so be careful if you're doing some rock fishing or some swimming. A maximum of 24 degrees. Now, just to get Margaret up to speed, what's the temperature predicted to be in Richmond today, Raymond? And Raymond Terrace.
Good pub at Ricky Inn, you know.
Really, is it?
Really good pub, yeah.
You got into a stink there, didn't you, back in the day?
We all did, yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's an all-in, but it's a long time ago, Jim.
Right, yeah. Fair enough.
Why you bring that up for? Because I mentioned it off-air.
Because you mentioned
air,
it off-air, yeah. That's back in your Air Force days, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And our footy team used to go back there for the post-match celebrations. Anyway.
Just cut a...
Producer.
Did you know, Margaret?
I didn't, no. But anyway, Richmond today, cloudy, 26 degrees. No need to worry about the surf out at Richmond, but it'll be a nice day. Raymond Terrace, cloudy, chance of a shower or two, 25 degrees at Raymond Terrace today.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Your coffee machine, Lionel?
It's more than just a coffee machine, Mum. It's the new Nespresso Creatista, which makes me a Creatista barista.
What does it do?
It heats up in 3 seconds, makes 8 different coffees, and automatically produces cafe-quality froth.
What do you do?
Turn it on.
You're not really a barista.
Much more, Mum. I'm a Creatista barista.
Yes, and you pour water in it too.
The amazing Nespresso Creatista coffee machine, at an amazing price, is now at Bingley.
Love fast breaks and big blocks? That unmistakable squeak of rubber on a hardwood court? Adore dunks and three-pointers? Or maybe the rush of an unexpected play? We're with you. Yep, you love the NBA and so do we. That's why this season we've made it even easier to love a bet on the NBA. With exciting offers going all the way through to the last buzzer. Tab account and rewards bets only. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
You know when you pull up to the edge of a steep hill and gaze down at the slope below, there's a sharp intake of breath, followed by a plummeting in your stomach, as you realise you're not nearly equipped to tackle such a dizzying drop. If only you were driving a Volkswagen Amarok with advanced hill descent control, you just know you'll make it to the bottom. No worries. And with the Amarok Core 4x4 from only $39,990 drive away, you just know it's a great deal. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
And then came Flying Artie, the capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second. The capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose. Puddle
Betty's put down. The silent sound. Fanella have won it. Fanella have won it. 14 to 12. You can turn the light out now.
Goal. Rebound tip taken by Spades. Final second.
Once again, the Cavaliers are NBA champions.
On Sky.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Final hour of the program. I don't think we could be much more controversial as we were in the final minute of our last hour. We'll get to our special guest, our legend of the game today. It's going to be Brad Freddie Fittler, Trent Lanscow from tab.com.au. We're hoping to go inside the Wallabies camp as well. Remember, they went down in that game to Ireland, 27 points to 24, and that means the Grand Slam dream is over. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons will have a chat, and we'll get a sports update with Tanya as well. But just to clear up, what happened with Margaret in the lead up to the news? We get this from Brett from Broadbeach. Margaret has to get Caller of the Year. Outstanding, Margaret.
And Barry's chimed in.
And then Barry, did he autograph it or not? Shame on you for cutting the young lady off. I'm sorry, Barry. We haven't got an update on that.
So when management call us in on Monday,
yeah, we won't be able to tell them.
Yeah. What are we going to say there?
Yeah. I'll blame producer Jeremy. That's what I'll do. I'll blame producer Jeremy. Legend of the game. We missed him last week. We've got him this week, Roman.
Did you play against Brad Fittler?
Played with him.
Yeah, you did too.
The great privilege of playing with him. Yeah, and he is... I think you just forget just the number of games he played. Mm. Burst onto the scene as a young guy and then burst off the scene as an older guy that had turned himself into an absolute professional, and he's been very good to join us on the phone on a Sunday morning. Brad Fittler. G'day, Fred.
Good morning. Sorry about last week, lads.
What happened, Fred?
What had happened, my phone had run out of battery. It was next to my head, and I didn't wake up.
Mate.
My alarm didn't go off.
No problem.
That sounds fair enough to me,
don't you? You could have said anything, and we're just going to accept it here.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
We'll move on.
Yeah, exactly. We want to take a walk down memory lane with you, mate. And as I mentioned, it's the volume of games that you played. 119 for the Panthers, Roosters 217, 31 Origins, 40 Tests. Do you feel tired thinking about it, Fred?
Nah, all good, mate, all good. I think the real key to longevity is playing in good teams, you know, maintaining the passion and the love. And the fact that, I think the beauty of my last 3 years we played in grand finals, so it just keeps you interested and keeps you motivated. And, you know, we didn't go through those times at the end of the career that a lot of players do if their side's dropping away. So, I was really lucky, actually, and then also starting a great side team that was on its way up.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing good footy teams, it's so much easier than when you're struggling and, you know, battling away.
Yeah, no, good point. Brett, can I take you back even further, right back to your childhood days? Was rugby league always your calling? Was it other sports that you liked before rugby league?
Nah, pretty much as a kid. I mean, real young. Grew up in a place called Ashcroft, and pretty much everyone played footy in winter and cricket in summer. That was just what everyone did. And so from, I think, in my first year I played, I was about 4 years old.
Yeah.
So I was, and then, you know, it was just every afternoon down the park, down the creek, you know, always out playing, and whether it was kicking the footy, like I said, playing cricket, playing touch, ball rush, whatever it was. But we had we had groups of 20 kids playing every afternoon, so it was a wonderful way to grow up.
You had prodigious physical gifts, Freddie. You know, the mental part of the game came a little bit later from that professional point of view, but the big step and the physicality and the skill set, were that developed in those games where you played the bull rush and you played every afternoon?
Absolutely. I can't remember ever practicing my side step other than a game of touch footy.
Right.
I know JT and Jason Taylor and different players put out cones and practice side stepping, but I don't ever remember practicing it. I think it was just all practice. You know, practice from 4 years old was all done, like you said, on a front yard trying to dodge an incinerator. I remember one of my mates, Warren Green, he said this incinerator, so to score a try, you had to dodge that. There was stitches in your forehead for sure. And, you know, stay away from the fence. I was just going to give you splinters.
Exactly.
And,
Fred, can I ask you, when you burst onto the scene in first grade, you were still a teenager, and a few years earlier, Greg Alexander also when the Penrith side still was a teenager. And I remember he was quoted after his first game in first grade, oh, how'd you find it? He said, oh, it was just another game of football. And what he meant by that was he just went out and played the game naturally by instinct. Is that how you approached your initial forays into first grade?
Yeah, well, it came pretty easy, but I think that was majorly to the fact we had a really great forward pack.
Yeah.
So that made you feel really comfortable. And the other thing is I played one reserve grade game and then my next game was in first grade. And I think because the players around you got better, it felt like my game just got easier. So it didn't really feel that, bad. It felt like I was at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did it feel comfortable all the way through? Because first full year of first grade, you end up playing State of Origin, you end up making a grand final, you end up going on a kangaroo tour. Did that progression just continue, Freddie, the higher the level you went up?
Yeah, it did. I didn't handle it. I was a bit of a lout at the time, so, but things did come easy, and, mostly it wasn't until at Penrith and around that Super League period where we weren't going that well and started a couple of knocks and had to look at the way I was going about it and what I wanted to do in footy, so... yeah, it did, Jim. It just seemed to come easy, mate. I don't know why. When I look back, I do have a love for the game, and I had a love for the game that possibly wasn't in everyone.
Mm.
So it just comes so naturally to go to train and then enjoy training, put in effort, and it seemed to come easy.
Mm. Fred, 91, you're still a teenager. Penrith win their first ever comp, and I was living at Penrith at the time. I remember the impact it had on the area, and there was talk of a dynasty happening with this young team of genuine stars, but then in 1992 came the death of Ben Alexander and the impact that had on the club as well as the community. Can you talk us through two polar opposites here in your career?
Yeah, well, the memory of the grand final other than the actual game is going back to the
Panthers.
The Panthers and 20Ks of people either side of the freeway cheering us down and then getting back, and you just could not put another person in the club. I was just looking down and people just swaying with the force of where it was coming from. It was just incredible scenes. And then you're right, the next year we weren't going that great. We were still up there towards the top of the ladder, and then when Ben died, everything fell to pieces, and it's a hard one. I'm not sure why it broke so easy. He was a wonderful fella. He was my best mate at the time, and I think what it did do, it made everyone understand we're not supermen. You felt like you could do anything at the time out of Penrith. We're quite well protected, and we try to do our best in the community as well, but I think when that happened, it was like a baseball bat to the head and said, snap out of it a bit.
Yeah, it's funny. We spoke to Greg Alexander earlier this year as part of this segment, our legend of the game, and you could tell that obviously he was still deeply impacted 24 years later of the passing of his brother. In many ways, he and Mark Guy were out of the game for a long time. You went straight back into the game, straight back into the a test series against Great Britain.
You did miss an Origin game, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting the way people respond to those situations, Freddie. Why do you think you had your response?
That's what I know. That's what I know. I'm more comfortable on a footy field than I think anywhere in the world. So, for me, it just felt like there wasn't another thought going on in my head.
Mm.
There was no way I was going to get away. I was going to get closer, if anything. So, I think I played the following week. We played West out at Arana Park. Mm. And I remember we were getting beat. And it all turned around. It was just one of those wonderful games. And I remember Lamac was into me. He couldn't help himself. we ended up coming out with a big result. It was a great win.
Mm.
The move to the Roosters in end of 95, was that... Obviously, you've got to look to your future and secure your future, but was there changes also needed for Brad Fittler as well at that stage of his career to leave Penrith and have a new beginning?
I never look at life like that. I never look too far down the road. In fact, when Super League came along, Penrith went to Super League and I'd signed with ERL. The simple fact was I had to move. It was pretty much between a couple of clubs. It was Parramatta, Manly and the Roosters. And I ended up going to the Roosters, a lot to do with the fact that Phil Gould was at the Roosters at the time. I could have got more money, I think, at the other two places. So, and I'm not sure what the money was doing at Super League, but it was pretty much just the feel-good factor and the fact I got an opportunity to live in Sydney, which really didn't cross my mind ever in my whole life. So the one thing I do look grateful back on is I got to play in a wonderful club and I got to live in, you know, a wonderful city. So that was an awesome time in my life. Also, I got to play with Jim Smith.
less awesome, but anyway, I talked about the journey from, you know, bit of a character as you mentioned, you know, about that mid 90s time, and then by the end of your career, Freddie, you're the absolute professional. Turn up first, leave last. Make sure that the things that you're doing are preparing you for game day. Was that a natural progression? Because you see other players doesn't quite happen for them. It seemed to happen for you, and it made a strong impression on you.
And some. Learn it early.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, mate, just, if anything, I look back on my life, things took time.
Yeah.
Things have taken time. You know, I think someone might have given me a tip, you know, like when I was about 19, and if I had listened then, things might have been a lot different. But, I really enjoyed playing that role too. What I did find, it made life easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the more sort of professional you are, the easier your life becomes because you just, everything turns into a habit. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to force it. It just, you know, it just happens.
Mm.
So that was the, once you got the habits in place, the sort of footy become a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing how much, you know, how much stress, you know, leaves your body once you just get the right things in order.
Mm.
What about, are you a natural born leader, Brad? And I say that because you captained Australia 20 times. You won 17 test matches, including two World Cups. But did captaincy and leadership of a football team, did that come easily to Brad Fittler?
I just never thought of it.
Yeah.
You know, every time I run on, whether I'm playing touch or tackle, I want to win. So I'm going to talk and I'm going to, you know, if people have been lazy, I'm going to get up them. And if people get up me, I'm going to try to react. You know, I'm not there to, you decide to put a game on, I'm not there to not win. It's just the way it is. I just think, I think getting out and competing, I think it's good fun.
Mm.
Seems to, I don't know, it just seems to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the fact that people thought I was good enough to lead their club or their country for that matter. I think, you know, it was a wonderful honour. And but no, I've never, you know, if they took it off me, it wouldn't bother me. If they gave it to me, it's fantastic and let's go. But, that's about sort of where leadership sits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think from a people point of view, you retain your popularity because you retain that larrikin streak.
The attitude.
Yeah. And it's pretty much summed up, I think, as an 18-year-old on the Kangaroo Tour, you're introduced to His Royal Highness Prince Philip, and you said, "G'day, dude."
Yeah, well, that was the language at the time.
how did he react, Fred?
He
seemed all right. We had a good old chat, actually. It was pretty forthcoming and having a chat about different things. It was good. I think you'd hate to walk around those blokes sometimes. People sitting there, you know, putting you on different levels, I don't know.
Yeah.
And didn't seem right.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a standout, Fred? A game, a moment, a time? You know, the success over so many levels, over so many years, the two premierships, I guess, have come to mind?
Yeah, I think what happens too is you get older, your memory does sort of sift. You know, lots fall through down the bottom.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, one of my real highlights was the Auckland Nines. My kids hadn't seen me play.
Right.
The intercept try, Fred.
Yeah. With a bad quad, mind you. So I set the scene. So I'm sitting there, and the whole experience was good. I had to train hard, and which broke me down a fair bit. I was just there with my daughter doing a lot of sprinting, and you know that once you get to sort of, I was 42.
Mm.
It was hurting. You know, I was sort of getting massages a bit, and but anyway, so I thought I better put the effort in, and I remember going out Mount Eden, and the whole side, the whole crowd got up as I come down the side. Wonderful feeling, you know, just give them a wave. And I knew exactly where my kids were. So when I actually took the intercept, my son was like on my far right hand corner, and he would have had the side on view, and I thought, so I'd done something to my quad and I couldn't stretch out, it was quite painful, and I just said, I just need to look fast. So I just struggled all the way. And Marty Kennedy chased me the other way. If he had got me, I just would have, I don't know what I would have done to him.
The big front rower.
He would have just made a fool of me. But anyway, it was one of those great moments. But it was funny because I had a son and a daughter. And when I come off, the daughter went, oh, Dad, what a great try. That was awesome. You know, what a moment. And, you know, we had a cuddle. And then I actually tackled Benny Barber. And it was a beauty. It was a really old school, knocked down his palm, hit him straight across the chin. And my son said, yeah, what a great tackle on Benny. I said, yeah, good on you, buddy. Not many people would have noticed that as much, but he knew.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Brad, you've gone on and forged a terrific career in the media, but can I ask you about the coaching career? It lasted, what, 2.5 years and probably wasn't as successful as you would have liked. Do you miss coaching? Did you ever feel like it was something you didn't quite get to where you wanted to go as a coach?
No, I think it was quite perfect, really. I don't think anyone's ever done this in coaching either. I think I took over with 7 or 8 games. I think it was 8 games to go. Mm-hmm. In one season, we were coming last. By midway the next year, we were coming first. And by the time I retired a year later, we came last. That shows you what coaching's all about. Last to first to last. And but that year we had where we played in the semi-final against Brisbane and against Auckland and New Zealand were some of my greatest experience. They were awesome. You know, we had a really good, committed bunch of blokes. And the game in New Zealand where we got beat, but, you know, I think we lost about 3 or 4 trips leading into the game. We were really down on numbers, and it was quite unbelievable, the effort over there. And they had a big, I think it was the first time they did a blackout where everyone had to wear black.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was just an amazing atmosphere. And then the kickoff, and Ruben Wickie ran into Sue Soliola, and Sue just got knocked out, just flat knocked out. And the collision was just, you know, just suited the environment and the atmosphere at the time. It was pretty awesome, pretty awesome. So, no, I got some good things out of coaching. And, you know, the year after, they ended up in a grand final. I got beat by St. George. So I think it was a lot to do with some of the work that, not just me, but our group, were under a fair bit of pressure that year. Well, they did. All those players turned their life around, really, the following year, and off they went. So, no, I really enjoy the coaching. I'm doing a lot of coaching with kids at the moment, 16 and 18 kids, and really enjoy it.
Mate, we love the look at league that you have, Freddie. You look at it through a different prism, and
enjoy
I think
the
that's
game.
Why people appreciate your involvement in the game. Great to have you on this morning, mate. We've got a fly. We've got commercial responsibilities we haven't met, but... again, thanks for your time, mate. Great to chat.
Cheers. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Brad.
Brad Fittler there is one of the all-time greats. The harder it got at training, the better he got.
He enjoyed the game. That's the bottom line. And you can still hear it in his voice.
Absolutely.
And he loves training the 16 and 18-year-olds or coaching them. And what a player, Jim.
And he does that much stuff for charity that goes unnoticed.
Really?
It is remarkable. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll hopefully go inside the Wallabies camp. And we'll also take your calls on that open line number. It is 8:28, Big Sports Breakfast, weekend edition.
This spring racing carnival, it's easy to help support the CUB 55. The 55 CUB workers terminated without notice and then offer their jobs back for 65% less pay. Simply join the Spring Replacing Carnival and replace any CUB made beers with anything else. And celebrate the GGs without the CUBs. It'll not only send a message of support to the workers, it'll send a blunt message to CUB management and hopefully increase their odds of offering their jobs back. Visit the Boycott CUB page on Facebook for full details of which beers to avoid.
Authorised by Alan Hicks, ETU Australia.
Mum, walk into a Bingley store right now and you'll see red.
What have you done, Lionel?
Put red tickets everywhere.
For decoration?
No, for 4 days of red hot deals. If you see a red price ticket, it's hot.
What's hot?
TVs, washers, fridges, aircons, blenders. The full enchilada.
What's enchilada?
It means everything.
4 days of red hot deals on everything at Bing Lee.
Look for the red price tickets.
On our enchilada.
But it ends Sunday.
Selected products, seebinglee.com.au for details.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea. The best.
best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Jimmy and Ray, worth the wait, guys. Love his honesty and passion for the game. John from Moorbank. Yeah,
Brad Petty.
Absolutely. You can hear it in this man's voice too, Trent Lenscale from tab.com.au. Morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Jimmy and Ray.
How are you, Trent?
All right, mate. We are going to win a test match, are we?
Oh. Well, hopefully. That's the early cry.
Exactly. Oh, you put the mock on
come on.
Now. Oh, no. Well, South Africa, they will resume at 6 for 194, so they lead by 70 runs. So hopefully, Jimmy, this is the one. Just a summation, just as we've gone through the day. So before day one, Australia, $2.50. The draw, $6.50. South Africa, $1.90. Before day two, Australia with $1.70 favourites. The draw was $15, South Africa $2.35. Before play yesterday, Australia $1.45, the draw $10, and South Africa $3.50. And right now, Australia are $1.18, the draw at $26, and South Africa $5. So we should be okay, but fingers crossed. But to bet on the third and final test there from the Adelaide Oval, you do have to call 133-390, or you can bet in your local tab.
$1.18, short enough, Jimmy. A couple of NBL games on today. Kings beaten in a thrill last night by Melbourne United, Jim. Three-pointer on the buzzer. Cairns play the New Zealand Breakers today. Trent and Perth Wildcats up against the Illawarra Hawks.
That's right, Ray. So for the two games at 3 o'clock, the Cairns Taipans are $1.85. The New Zealand Breakers are $1.95. So nothing in the betting there. Just for the margin, you've got Cairns by 1 to 10 at $3.10. At New Zealand 1 to 10 at $3.40. Cairns 11 plus $3.80. And New Zealand by 11 or more at $4.20. The over-under line's 162.5 points. And then 7 o'clock this evening, the Perth Wildcats are $1.55. They're at home to the Illawarra Hawks at $2.45. The line there is 3.5. Just for the margin betting there, Perth 1 to 10 at $3.10 and 11 plus $3.20. And you've got Illawarra by 1 to 10 at $3.50 and by 11 or more at $5. And the over under line is 163.5 points. And there's plenty of NBA games as always to bet on as well.
Here on your sheet, you say you've got Manchester City $1.50 to beat Wellington. Can I get on?
I've got a
house that I would like to put on that, please.
Well, I do that every now and again. The brain just doesn't work quite as well at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But
well,
I assure
given
you,
your lifestyle choices, Trent, I understand.
Did you go home last night, Trent?
Yeah, I was home. I was just watching everything. But I assure you, Melbourne City are playing Wellington at 5 o'clock this afternoon at AB Park. Thanks for that, Jimmy. Melbourne City are $1.50. The draw, $4.50. And Wellington, $5.50. For the over-under 2.5 goals market, you've got over 2.5 at $1.55. And under 2.5 at $2.45. And then there's four matches to complete round 13 of the EPL, starting from 11 o'clock tonight. Just mention the favourites here. Watford at $2.25. They're at home to Stoke City. At 1:15 in the morning, Arsenal are $1.37 at home to Bournemouth. And then there's a couple of games at 3:30 tomorrow morning, where Manchester United are $1.40 at home to West Ham, while Southampton are $2.05 when they entertain Everton. Just with other sports, fellas, the World Cup of Golf, the final round has just got underway at Kingston Heath, and Denmark are the $1.20 favourites. They hold a four-shot lead. And at Rod Laver Arena, we have UFC Fight Night 101. So this is a big event down in Melbourne today, and just a couple of the main fights, if you will, going into the afternoon. So Melbourne's own Jake Matthews is $1.22 against Andrew Holbrook at $4.30. That's the lightweight event around about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then the feature of the day is America's Derek Brunson, $1.75, against Australia's Rob Whittaker at $2.10. That's the middleweight feature event around about 4:30. So the events start from 11 o'clock this morning right through until that final event there between Derek Brunson and Rob Whittaker. So you'll be able to bet on that. You can watch it on Fox Sports 506. So there is plenty happening. Don't forget the Abu Dhabi Formula One Grand Prix at midnight as well. Basically, Lewis Hamilton against Nico Rosberg for the Drivers' Championship. So everything happening from a sporting point of view at the moment, even though it's during the summer period. You can check out all the markets at tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. Good luck to Jake and Rob in that those UFC bets as well. Trent Lenscale there from tab.com.au. Real disappointment for the Wallabies in their match against Ireland in Dublin. They were down dramatically, 17-0. Fought their way back to the lead. In the end, it was Ireland prevailing, 27 points to 24. We're lucky enough to be joined on the line by Dean Mum brought into this side to strengthen up that lineup. Let's see how he's pulled up after the game and how things are travelling with the side. G'day, Dean.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really well. How did you pull up? How did everyone else pull up after what must have been a real disappointment working into the game?
Disappointed. Obviously, the key word. I mean, it's sort of we came over, and we didn't shy away from the fact that we wanted to come over and try and create a history with a grand slam. And we had a couple of good results to start the tour, but you've got to win every one. And unfortunately, we went down today. I mean, I think the key was we just kind of left ourselves a bit too much to do. I mean, being 17 points down and in some of these cauldrons away from home makes it pretty hard to come back, and we did that, which showed great resilience, but we just couldn't quite get there in the end.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Dean, and commiserations on the loss, but it's been a tremendous tour. The Wallabies have got some pride back in the jumper, and that resilience you spoke about just before, you've shown it in a lot of the tests on the tour, and again, to come from 17-0 down and hit the front 24-20, only to go under narrowly.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we strive for a certain identity when wearing this Wallabies jumper, and having that sort of resilience is a key facet to it. I think when you're watching Australian sport or any Australian team, you want to see them have a bit of ticker and then fight when the chips are down. And then I suppose it's something we're able to do today. But I mean, it just comes back, and I think when we look at it, you just can't, as I was saying, you just can't give a team a start like that. I don't full credit to them. We're very good today. Put a lot of pressure on, particularly in our own half, and they've had a really good sort of springtime in terms of their test matches to beat New Zealand, and then to have a win here, so they're a team going really well.
Dean, do you think so many changes for the team last week? Do you think that impacted on combinations, or was it a case of guys really needed that bit of a week off so that they could recharge the batteries?
I think the reality is you can't. Given the sort of the amount of coming to the back end of the season, you can't expect players to go 5 weeks in a tour and play necessarily their highest standard the whole time. And there's guys had a lot of footy this year, so rotation was probably always going to happen. And it certainly didn't affect us last week. But whether or not it was a factor in us starting slow, I don't know. But the team's been reasonably settled at the back end of the year. A lot of those combinations are pretty tried and tested. I don't really think that was such a factor today.
Dean, can the team regroup and for a big challenge next week, Eddie Jones, England?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I got asked earlier before in another media if there was motivation for this week, and of course there is straight away. There's no question about that. It's England. There doesn't need to be any more motivation than that. We obviously got the raw deal and a 3-0 loss at the start of the year, which we're not hiding away from.
Yep.
But this coming weekend or next weekend presents an opportunity to try and restore some pride in that clash. So given a day, I think the boys will be pretty sore after this one. But once we sort of refocus, learn what we need to learn from this weekend, then we'll be well up for next weekend.
Bit of a milestone game too for Stephen Moore, playing his 116th Test match, equal second on the list of most capped Wallabies. Probably, I know he's a very popular member of the team, obviously, and captain. Would have been a little disappointing not to give him a win on that big occasion.
Yeah, that's right. But obviously knowing Steve, and it wasn't even a factor in the week. It really was not even mentioned, and that's full credit to him and his humility. And I only heard about it through other people, so it was never a factor for him. And he's one of those great skippers that makes it all about the team. So, it's a massive credit for him and to become the equal second most capped Wallaby. What a tremendous achievement. And it would have been nice to give him a win, but, to be honest, I think you'd ask that 2/3 of the squad, they probably didn't know about it. It's only given the humility of the person he is.
Do you have a player's player? Do you get to vote on a player's player? If so, who won it?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it all leads up to next year's John Hill's medals. But,
right.
Michael Hooper was, again, very, very good. I think Bern Foley with Genia, they offered quite a bit and threatened on occasion. I think particularly in that period where we played quite well in the sort of 40 or 60 minute mark, and those guys had significant influence throughout that time. So probably they're three names to look for.
Now, usually on a Wallabies tour about this time, you'd be into a kangaroo court or something like that. But given the professionalism of these days, you've probably got a recovery session that you're about to jump into, Dean.
England to focus on.
Yeah, that's right.
No, well, to be honest, Jimmy, it's a bit different from when you were running around. But we're at the aftermatch function at the moment. So no, the boys are taking their time. It's very formally aftermatch here, to be honest. So it's a three-course meal, sit-down and exchange of gifts, etc. So, but no, it's fair to say the boys are having, just one Guinness at the moment to savour. You know, they always say it's a little bit better in Dublin itself than anywhere else.
It's just very different to rugby league, isn't it, Dean? Just
what are you saying?
No,
a little bit, mate. But I'm sure those boys had a good time and they deserve it after winning the
Four Nations,
the cup last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me guess, you got suit and tie on?
Who's that?
You've got suit and tie on?
Yeah, suit and tie. Mate, I'm hiding in the back of the room while the speech is starting.
There you go. Dean did say formal dinner.
I understand that. Yeah. Oh, listen, okay. Most times. Hey, Dean. Bad luck about today.
Yeah.
Good luck for this game against England coming up, and really appreciate your time for us this morning.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
Thanks so much.
Dean Mum there into the Wallabies 15, and unfortunately they went down 27 points to 24
but
to Ireland.
They have restored that pride back in that Wallabies
season. Yes, after a disappointing home test, they've been better on the road, which is unusual. 13:53:53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back here with a sports update. And Scotty Foster and your calls on that open line number.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wide Line Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
You hear that? That's the sound of love for UFC. Love for big guns and big hits. For underdogs and heavyweights. Love for... Oh, ouch! Tap in before they tap out with our great UFC offers this November. Download the Tab app. Head to tab.com.au or visit your local today. Tab. We love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
He's the level round jump winner. $1 million camp. 1:50.2. The fastest level round jump in history.
$1 million camp. Already the sire of a $1 million horse in the US, PH Supercam. $1 million Cam. Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. The go-ahead state in breeding and racing. Visit yerribee.com.au. That's yerribee.com.au.
To all those who build, we salute you. The crews tirelessly cutting, lifting and taping so families can call a house a home. The contractors shaping skylines and building communities. At USG Boral, we're the building materials manufacturer that's with you every step of the way. From creating the very first plasterboard to easing your burden with the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia, we're there. Proud supporter of a job well done. Learn more at usgboral.com.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. She's a little bit...
What's wrong?
Lack of concentration there on my behalf.
You missed the cue.
I did miss a cue. I missed a cue for this.
Mm. On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Australia's dream of a clean sweep during their Spring Rugby World Tour, or Spring Rugby Tour, is after going down to Ireland this morning in Dublin, 27-24. Both teams scored 3 tries each. The Irish now have become the first Northern Hemisphere side since England in 2003 to beat the 3 major Southern Hemisphere teams in the calendar year. Meantime, New Zealand and France in progress. It's very late in the second half and the Kiwis lead 24-16. South Africa resumed this afternoon at 6 for 194 on day 4 of the 3rd cricket test against Australia in Adelaide, an overall lead of just 74 runs. Last night, Nathan Lyon dispelled many of his doubters after bowling for hours on end with no result. The spin bowler took 3 for 48, knocking over Bavuma, Abbott and Dumini. Stephen Cook at the crease on 81. Denmark will take a four-shot lead into the final day's play of the World Cup of Golf at Kingston Heath in Melbourne today, which is a best ball format. The Danes are at 14 under with the US team of Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker outright second at 10 under, and China a further shot back. Aussies Adam Scott and Mark Leishman are 10 off the lead. A nil or draw between Sydney and Adelaide in last night's lacklustre A-League game at Allianz Stadium. The draw, however, keeping the Sky Blues' unbeaten record this season intact. Coach Graham Arnold said the players were disappointed with their performance, but they now have to move on and look to the FFA Cup final on Wednesday night against Melbourne City. In last night's other game, Melbourne victory 2-0 over Newcastle, while today Melbourne City host Wellington. Meantime, the draw for the Confederations Cup in June next year in Russia was held overnight. Australia is in Group B with the champions of Africa, Chile and Germany. The Gary Moore train takedown won the Group 1 Winterbottom Stakes at Ascot last night, giving Moore his first Group 1 win in Australia. Moore said he will now take down to Hong Kong in a fortnight for the International Hong Kong Sprint. A 9-goal thriller in the EPL match between Swansea and Crystal Palace at Liberty Stadium overnight, four of which came in just 11 minutes during the second half. Swansea won the match 5-4 to record their second win of the season. In other results, Burnley 1, Man City 2, Hull and West Brom 1-1, Leicester and Middlesbrough 2-2, Liverpool 2-0 over Sunderland, and Chelsea 2 beat Tottenham 1. Lewis Hamilton has gained a slight psychological advantage over Nico Rosberg heading into the decisive season final Formula One Grand Prix tonight in Abu Dhabi. Hamilton has pole, he's 12th of the season, while Rosberg is in second spot. Daniel Ricciardo will start from third. Rosberg is looking for his first World Drivers' Championship and needs to finish top three to win. If he finishes fourth or lower and Hamilton wins, then he claims the title. Former world champ Jenson Button will retire after the race. Croatia lead Argentina in the Davis Cup final in Zagreb 2-1 after Marin Cilic and Ivan Dodig beat Juan Martin Del Potro and Leonardo Meyer in the doubles overnight in straight sets. And in just his second game since arriving from LA, Melbourne's Casper Ware potted a massive three-pointer with 2 seconds on the clock to give United the win over Sydney in the NBL game last night in Melbourne, 95-92. In a top quality, highly entertaining game, the Kings chased the home team for most of the match to come back from 10 down to level and then gave the game away at the death. Is there anything more exciting at the moment than the NBL?
You love it, don't you, Tim?
I absolutely love it.
It's a great game last night.
Well, my son plays basketball.
That'll get you into it.
But seriously, the crowds, you're getting close to 10,000 at games now. I remember back to the old David Koch and Swan and King's days when they would struggle to get 2,000 to a game.
We're going on the 18th.
The 18th, yeah. The but, Bill, a lot of the times the King's games are sold out. And I think the introduction to or bringing Andrew Gaze in such a high-profile role has been an absolute
wonderful. Well, the coverage last night, Leighton Hewitt was a guest commentator at halftime, said exactly the same thing, getting Andrew Gaze back in a high-profile position, like with the Sydney Kings, doing wonders for the NBL.
We spoke to Josh Power during the week on the Big Sports Breakfast, new American import, and he was cool as a cucumber. Yeah. He was really good. But you can see he sounds like one of those guys who's come out here and not just for a holiday, which is very good.
He's been here a very short time. Mm. But who would, like the coaches on the sideline there, what a tough kid that is.
That's great theatre watching Andrew Gaze.
They have the cameras in their face, the crowd on their backs, you know, and everything that they say is there for everyone to see. It must be very, you know, frustrating, but it's great to watch, isn't
great
it?
Great theatre.
It really is.
Very good, yes. Disappointment for the Kings, though, on my bet of the week, too. The sports bet of the week. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's go to a caller now before we head off to a break. Peter is there. G'day, Pete.
Good morning. How are we?
Really good morning, mate. What do you got for us?
Oh, we've got a torch.
Got a bad line there, Pete. Got a bad line there, Pete.
The flame that Muhammad Ali carried to light, the Olympic flame.
Ah, yeah.
And Leno 96.
That'd be hard to beat, wouldn't it? Because no one knew who'd be the person who lit the flame that day. And then when Muhammad Ali came up, Jim, one of the great, most emotional moments in sport, I think. Watched a great man shaking with the flame.
Yeah.
Putting it in. It was fantastic.
Gripped by Parkinson's and away you go. Thanks, Pete. We've got to let you go because of that line was a tough one. But, yeah, there's another good one. Congrats, Jimmy and Ray. What a great interview with Brad Fittler. Brad is one of the finest role models in the recent history of our game. What he achieved as a kid from Western Sydney sets a great example to all young men who play our game. Don from Carlton. Well, you can knock me over with a feather. Don from Carlton's being positive. No surprise there.
I met Don catching a plane back from Melbourne.
Was he negative?
Lovely man.
Was he negative about anything?
He said
anything?
Hello. I
was he negative about me?
No, he said.
Yes, he was.
Be listening on Sunday. I said, keep listening, Don, ringing.
Keep sticking it to me, didn't
he?
No,
he's a lovely man. Good morning, Don. Good
morning, Don. anyway.
Good morning, Don.
The other thing about Freddie is, you know what he did with his first paycheck out of football?
No.
Bought his mother a car.
I think I remember reading
single
that story,
mother,
yeah.
Single mother,
yeah.
Brought up three children. That's great right. Story. 1353-53. Open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
My husband lost his beer gut and now is happier and healthier than ever, thanks to the Man Shake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
This spring racing carnival, it's easy to help support the CUB 55. The 55 CUB workers terminated without notice and then offer their jobs back for 65% less pay. Simply join the spring replacing carnival and replace any CUB made beers with anything else. And celebrate the GGs without the CUBs. It'll not only send a message of support to the workers, it'll send a blunt message to CUB management and hopefully increase their odds of offering their jobs back. Visit the Boycott CUB page on Facebook for full details of which beers to avoid.
Authorised by Alan Hicks, ETU Australia.
When the traffic's going nowhere and you're stuck, then get carried away. Imagine you're relaxing with a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Amber's 20% off everything sale ends today. That's a massive 20% off all your indoor and outdoor tiles, pavers and stone. Hurry into your local Amber store. Amber has the answer. In Newtown, a car and motorcycle stack on King Street near the Bank Hotel has traffic banking up in both directions. A traffic flow is in place. Extensive delays coming into the international terminal at Sydney Airport now on Marsh Street as well, and it's building steadily on Airport Drive. In Bilpin, a traffic flow is in place on Bell's Line of Road after an accident earlier this morning. That's at Bilpin Springs Road. And in Kellyville, traffic lights are flashing yellow, Green Road at Wrights Road. Everything on sale at Oz Design Furniture has been extended with massive savings of up to 50% off. Must end tomorrow. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au for store locations or shop online. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, walk into a Bingley store right now and you'll see red.
What have you done, Lionel?
Put red tickets everywhere.
For decoration?
No, for 4 days of red hot deals. If you see a red price ticket, it's hot.
What's hot?
TVs, washers, fridges, aircons, blenders, the full enchilada.
What's enchilada?
It means everything.
4 days of red hot deals on everything at Bingley.
Look for the red price tickets.
On our enchiladas.
But it ends Sunday.
Selected products, cbingley.com.au for details.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Just a lot of people having their say on Twitter this morning. Mark says, boys, up first, I'd like to have Tom Brady's wife. Person, you can't have it possessions. Giselle Bundchen, obviously, a supermodel. Second, Changa's white boots. Mm. And maybe Floyd Mayweather's pay packet too. That's a fair point. The dartboard punter says on Twitter, send us a tweet, at Big Sports WEND, I'd like to have Stephen Bradbury's skates he wore to win gold.
Mm. The Bradbury.
Yeah. I think there was someone else in that race whose skates Stephen Bradbury was supplying.
Was it a Apollo?
That's how he had to make he had to make money on
Ono,
the side.
Yeah, Apollo Ono.
He was making money on the side by...
Apollo Ono, I reckon. Yeah. Well, he was a favourite to win the gold medal,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he was there just to supply the boots.
Massive,
he ended up winning.
Crash in the last term, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Now, we get this in too. He's one of the regulars contributing to the program, but good morning, Jimmy and Ray. You might have noticed I had nothing this morning. It was my 30th birthday party last night. It's my birthday today. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil.
Good on
well,
you.
Happy birthday.
Eagle-Eyed Phil.
He's just woken up.
You didn't get up
to too much mischief up there in Dubbo.
Say he's just woken up, the poor guy.
Eagle-eyed Phil. Sure, that's not the case. Hey, we found him. I don't know where he is, but we found him. Scotty Foster. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. I was at Phil's birthday party.
You're just getting up too, Scotty.
Have party, will travel.
Yeah, 10, you woke me up.
On your 10.
Jeez, you're rock solid, Scotty, I've got to say.
Sorry, boys. But,
no, that's all right. Yeah. Plenty of time, Scotty.
Yesterday, Rose Hill Races at TAB looked after me, so thank you.
Very good.
You should have come and said g'day, Scotty.
I didn't. And you know what? I didn't even think about a race, so sorry about that.
I have that effect on people. Yeah, it's all right, mate.
You would have recognised him. He's the man with the immaculate hair.
Oh, dear.
You know, I did see him on TV, actually.
What are you laughing at?
That's what he's laughing at, me on TV.
All right, now, hey, tell us about the bus, because it sounds like you should have been on the bus yesterday, Scotty.
Mate, I was on the bus. It was a Vanga bus, and it was a great bus, and we had a great day. But Christmas is fast approaching, and we have some great deals on all our cars over the next few weeks. But today, the bus is the one that I want to sell. It's a Toyota Coaster bus. It's a 21-seat bus. It's a perfect time to buy. It's perfect for all your airport transfers, bucks and hens nights, race days, weddings. You can start making money on your investment. So get in and have a look at this bus. It's powered by the 4.2-litre Toyota diesel engine. It's got reliability all over it. So you just got to get in, have a look at it, and have a good voice. Can you please read it?
I'll tell you what, Scotty.
Hasn't got reliability written all over it, Scotty.
I tell you what, Scotty, you got Jimmy's ears have picked up there because he's thinking he can make money out of this. He's picked up straight away. And I'll tell you what, Scotty, I'll help you out.
Drive it around the Shire.
It's only worth $15,990. Drive away.
No, it's only worth.
It's a fantastic price.
It's worth much more. But you can get it for
$15,990, or drive away, or go straight to the website at www.fostersqualitycars.com.au. This is a great bus and could be someone's money-making machine, Jim Smith.
Yes.
All about you.
Oh, there you go. You can arrange finance for this bus and any of the cars with the great packages that are available now. They're helping out a lot of people that struggle to get finance previously. So if you've had credit issues in the past, time to give Steve Foster and Sons a call. If you're on a pension, you've got paid or unpaid defaults, if you're new to Australia, if you're student visa, or if you've got a throbbing headache
they
from a hangover.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're on sickness benefits, you're starting a new business, or you need a work vehicle, either Uber driving, then we can help. Go to the website, fostersqualitycars.com.au, or call 9637 5024.
How was that, Scotty?
9637 5024.
Mate, sounded great. I'm on all of those sickness benefits.
Well, you've had a good night anyway, Scotty.
And I did tell Tanya that I wasn't the best, so...
I tell you what, you've confirmed that.
That might be part of our intro to the show next week, I think, Scotty.
You had 3 years of great, consistent performances every Sunday, and now look what you've done.
You know what? It's just for memories, boys.
You still got it then, Scotty. You still got it. Good on you, mate.
Go back to bed, Scotty.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate. See you, mate.
Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. Let me assure you, the cars are more reliable.
Scotty's reliable. He was there.
You're right.
He was there. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
He answered the phone.
That's like turning up with a car and the battery doesn't work. Like, at least the car's there.
Something like that.
It's still there. Morning, boys. Is the Brad Fittler interview being podcast? Tiger Marty. We'll try.
It'll be on
the whole show. Be up on the
quickly.
Website. So you'll be able to fast forward to that one. Jimmy and Ray, I would love to have the magical Maccabi Diva standing in the backyard as my sporting memorabilia. How can you beat 3 Melbourne Cups in a row? Cheers, Mudgy Dragon.
Imagine having 3 Cups. Outstanding.
Now, this one. John Grant has tried to run rugby league as if it was his own business. It's not your business, John. I said that like that because it was all in uppercase. The other commission members are dead set sheep, not a peep from them. Yes, John, no, John, 3 bags full, John. What do they do? Agree with everything he says. That's what they do. Bye-bye.
If he's lost the support of basically everyone in the NRL, Jim.
Well, the voting chapter is this. There's 26 members. 8 of them are the commissioners. The other 18 involve the 16 clubs and New South Wales and Queensland. If the New South Wales and Queensland and the clubs are together, there's 18.
And he's out. He needs 4 clubs to vote for him,
doesn't he?
To stay his position. Yeah.
That's right. So it's a real watch this space situation.
Well, just quickly, Jim,
deep
running out of time.
Sorry, mate. Deep dissatisfaction in club league.
Okay, well, just quickly, Jim, running out of time. What do you think needs to happen then?
Well, here's the problem for John Grant. If he goes back, does the backflip and says, okay, you can have the 130%, then he's perceived as being...
There's nothing wrong with admitting you're wrong, Jim.
...being the puppet of the clubs. If he doesn't, then not only will they not continue with this vote of no confidence, but they will then agitate further for constitutional change, and they will want representation on the commission. So it won't be then independent.
So he's dead man walking both ways.
I think he is. I think that's the problem. And I think the concerns raised by Phil Gould, and I said it on the show during the course of the week, Ray, there is so much revenues coming into the game of
where
rugby league
is
in the
going?
Additional revenues. Well, we know where some of it's going, but what has it done? Where's the benefits to the game of rugby league itself? That's,
and just
that's
a quick final question on the topic. Is it a valid criticism that he spent a month away with the Kangaroos at the Four Nations Tour?
Oh, it's not ideal. You know, when you've got... You, not only this, but...
When this is hanging over your head.
Collective bargaining agreement needs to be done as well.
That has to be done as well, yeah. So two major issues in the game, and he spent a month in England.
Yeah, so rightly or wrongly, the perception is that you're away from your post.
Got to be at the coalface.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of being at the coalface, you're at the coalface again today. Do you have a sporting tip for us today? I know you've given us a couple of racing tips. A sporting tip for us?
I'm not. Sydney FC Wednesday night, FFA Cup final.
Okay, there you go. I hope South Africa don't win that test match. That's all.
Fingers crossed.
Australia earlier.
Have a great day. Go the Aussies this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. You too, Roman.